first reading is from Acts chapter 8, starting with verse 26. An angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Rise and go towards the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place." And he rose and went. And there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasures. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning, seated in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to him, "Philip, go over and join this chariot." So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." And the eunuch said to Philip, "About whom, I ask you, does the prophet say this, about himself or about someone else?" Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told him of the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized?" And he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And they came out of the water, and the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more, and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he passed through, he preached the gospel to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle reading is from 1 John, starting with chapter 4, verse 1. "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and is now in the world already. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them, for he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he has loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us. His love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment. Because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. And for he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. This is the word of the Lord.
Please stand for the Alleluia in verse. Chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, I am the vine, the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch of mine that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Grace to you, O Christ.
Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you this day from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We know only too well that in this world of today, it's easier than ever to be isolated from one another. I mean, it doesn't just take COVID to make that happen, but our society has been moving away from one another for quite some time. I mean, think about your own neighborhood. How many people do you actually know? It seems these days that true relationships are harder and harder to come by. And as we live more isolated, we may miss some of those occasional times, those spiritual times, those opportunities that God opens among us. Because you never know what will happen when you're open to being used and available for another person. And that's really the idea that's behind our first reading today in Acts 8. It always starts with God. It starts with God and his desire to make his work of reconciliation and restoration known to people. You see, he has a heart for all people. We know the biblical truth that he wants all to come to the knowledge of the truth, to be saved, and yet we know that so many are so far away from him. And so we know that this love of God, this mission of God, the missae dei, as it were, the mission of God, starts with him, and he uses the people around them to bring his message home. And so in Acts 8, the Spirit of the Lord has a plan. And that plan includes Philip, who was one of the original seven deacons that were chosen to serve in the ministry of the Lord in the early church. So the Spirit prompts Philip to go and catch up with a chariot in which this man is reading scripture. And just being close to this person sparks a theological discussion that would lead to that man's salvation. You see, that's where it seems to happen, alongside chariots. So why don't we go out right now and go find a chariot to go up next to? Okay, I mean, if we're reading scripture, that's the way it is, right? But actually, God is just saying here, not prescriptive, but descriptively, that as you go along, you will encounter others to whom God is working and has brought you alongside. We are a people of alongsiders. We like to be alongside others. Not too long ago, last fall, our district had a conference called Being God's Alongsider. And guess what? It was about being about the mission of God. Now, so often we sort of get wrapped up and say, well, it's my mission, it's my mission, it's my mission. And it's good that we have some ownership of it, but we do need to keep in mind that it all starts with God. That it's with God that all good things happen. That it's with God that the impossible becomes possible. And so you and I today, we are directed to go alongside others, whether it be chariots, whether it be Audis, whether it be pedestrians along the walkway. We are called to be alongside. And it's amazing how God works through his word and also through people that he brings that are open to hearing the good news. Philip was sent to evangelize and to help others know the truth of God. And he was being used as God's vessel. And we never know as we leave our homes each day how God may call us to get near another person so that he or she might receive the gift of God's mercy and grace. You know, I remember watching a movie one time, and it was a spiritual movie. God's not dead, okay? He is surely alive, right, as the song goes. Can't leave you at the tomb. We got to go further. But yet in that, someone was brought to witness at a man's very last moment on earth. And his heart was turned by that person who was an alongsider, who just happened to be there. Happened by God's action, mind you. It's not a coincidence, but an act of God using his people for his purpose. Now, in our text, Philip is directed by the Spirit. You know, he is called to come up next to this man and to go on a particular road through a desert place. Philip's being sent to evangelize one man, just one person. And who is that one man? Well, he turns out to be a court official, a treasurer of Candace, the queen of Ethiopia. And he's a Gentile convert to Judaism. He is returning from Jerusalem, where he had gone to worship. So he's somewhat associated with God and God's actions. And while he's riding back in his chariot, he's reading from the book of Isaiah the prophet. And you and I, we'd probably just jump right past that verse, right? He's just reading from Isaiah. It's no big deal. It was a big deal because they didn't have Bibles all over the place in that day. You know, I mean, it took a lot of money and authority to get your hands on a scroll that actually had the words written out. And so while we would just jump by this, say, oh, well, yeah, well, there's a Bible in every pew, and there is. There is, in fact, most of us have multiple Bibles at our homes. And even if we're not at home, many of us have them on our phones and electronic devices. So we don't really even think about it. But in this day, God has provided his word to this man. And now he's going to bring into contact one of his people, Philip. And so here is this man. Imagine being engrossed reading something, and someone comes up to the chariot and kind of says, you want me to join you and explain what you're reading? I mean, it's pretty much a big outward display there, right? Most of us would probably can I do it from over here, right? But yet, Philip is led to intersect with this man. And Philip is probably running alongside this chariot. I'm guessing it wasn't moving very fast. Maybe it was at a stoplight for chariots. I don't know. But, you know, but he is carried there for an encounter. So Philip gets close, hears the man reading, and it was customary in that day and age to read out loud, even to yourself. And so it was very common. And so the man was reading out loud to himself. He's alone in this chariot. And Philip comes into this picture. It happens that we're told exactly what the man was reading from Isaiah 53. Back in the time, probably when they didn't even number Isaiah 53. But yet, Philip is given the information and understanding at that moment and asks the man, do you understand what you are reading? And the man shares his confusion about this passage and wonders if he'll ever know what it means unless someone guides him. Now, that word guide that is used there, it's a word that Jesus used when he said the Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth. The Holy Spirit working, guiding, directing. And Isaiah 53 is such a rich, you know, passage, a prophecy of Jesus that he would be silent before his accusers, and part of Isaiah's whole message of Jesus as the suffering Messiah. And Philip explains to this Ethiopian man in the simple language that the passage is about Jesus and about the good news of his death and his resurrection. You know, God is dead, but he's surely alive, right? This is the truth for us. And it was the truth also for this eunuch to hear. And that eunuch hears the truth, sees it in Scripture, and believes. And there a connection is made. All of a sudden, Christ is abiding in this Ethiopian official. All of a sudden, at just the right moment, this man comes to faith. He sees the light. And then he goes, you know, wait, now I understand now what you're saying. I'm seeing that the Holy Spirit's guided me in this truth. And this faith was now created in my heart. And then he was wanting to be baptized. And guess what? There just happened to be some water coming up. Obviously, this chariot was moving along. And notice the scripture says they're in a desert region. And yet, there's water coming up. Oh, just happened to be that way, right? Again, God is in control of the context, the geography, and the truth. And God is the one who makes things work out. And so God used Philip to point this man in the right direction. This Ethiopian is baptized. And after they get done with the baptism, guess what? Philip disappears. Off he goes, carried somewhere else by the Spirit of the Lord. Now, this Ethiopian, though, there was still more for him to do. The Ethiopian took with him that message and that he would find others who would hear by their own chariots as well this good news of Jesus Christ. Tradition holds that the whole gospel of Jesus, his death, resurrection, his coming again, that all that truth was brought to the continent of Africa by this very man. Think of it. He didn't think, he was a treasurer. He wasn't a missionary. But yet God used him where he was for his purpose. And also God used Philip too, didn't he? There was more to come. As God works in us, we too learn how to express love. And we express that love in our interaction with one another and those in our world. God's love, we know, is active and working through us as God's followers. And that love of our God is still unexpected to our ears today. God's undeserved love prompts us, encourages us, challenges us in the power of the Holy Spirit to give that same unexpected love in Jesus' name to others. So you and I, we learn the truth, we're in the truth, we carry the truth, we share the truth. Do you think that God's Word has enough truth for all those things? Oh yes, absolutely. And God's truth is there for us to share. And by such, the kingdom of God grows. By God's action in us and through us. And you know, we may come alongside people who are passing by in their own chariots, right? Maybe it's in the golf cart that pulls up along the street while you're mowing the lawn. And you wave at the person and they stop because they want to talk to you about something. See, unexpected, unplanned for. You don't exactly look like you're in a white shirt and a tie knocking on a door. But rather you're in sweaty clothes, smelling because you've been sweating in the Georgia sun. And yet, at that moment, God brings someone in front of you that has maybe a burning desire to know more. May you and I be bold in finding out those times and sharing the good news as the Holy Spirit guides, right? Not as we will, but as God wills. And that Holy Spirit does prompt people. You know, many of us who were baptized as babies, guess what? God's Word came alongside our parents or guardians to have them be bringing us to the water of baptism so that we would know the goodness of the Lord. See, there have been some alongsiders for us. Our parents who helped guide us and direct us. Or maybe it was the witnesses of the baptism. Or maybe it was someone special in your life that God brought to help you understand. Maybe it was your spouse who led you to a deeper relationship. So you and I, we are alongsiders from a long time ago. People have been alongside us, and now it's our opportunity in God's mission to be about these things. And so may you and I today think a little bit about that. Think a little bit about what are the chariots that we come alongside. And think about that. And think about what you might say. Besides, you need to upgrade your chariot. Perhaps something a little better than that. But may God use you at those times. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guide our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.